CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody.
How's it?
Do that throat clearing exercise. It's how you know we're professionals. All right, it is Wednesday morning. It's 24th of November. Let's get cracking. We got Bulelo here with us. And we've got Sam Lehoko. How are you, Sam? Nice to see you. Yeah, you look very fresh for this time of the morning on a Wednesday. I mean, really, you know, since lockdown, people don't wake up this early anymore. We're the only idiots who are doing it, and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Ugh, that's the worst. Just hold on. Let me just turn down this music. Hold on a second. Yeah, everything's... I don't have the controls in front of me like I used to in the studio. All right, so how's it, Sammy? Sorry, we missed you for a second.
No, I like it. No, I was saying, you know, this morning I had to probably set about 4 or 5 alarms. Oh. I don't know how you guys do it. It's ridiculous.
Talking about ridiculous, Bulelo doesn't have any problem. He's hardly ever in his whole life been late, and he likes waking up early, so don't even start this bullshit with him. I'm in the same category as you, Sam. I've been doing this now for a long time. Let's just say a long time. I don't want to get into the detail. And I still hate it. I hate waking up early. My natural inclination is to sleep late, and I get to do that on weekends, and it's like heaven. During the week, I don't understand these people who say to me, oh, but it's so great. You start your week all upbeat, and you're so ready to conquer the world, and you do your exercise first thing in the morning, and it's exciting, and then you can start your day with lots of energy. I still have to know.
You also talk about people who, by this time, Gareth, have already gone through their emails. They've already set their day. I don't know how that's possible. I actually, to be honest, work far better at night.
Yeah.
That's when I can really concentrate and like get stuff done.
Yeah.
Not the mornings.
Fuck those people who wake up with all that. That's what I say. Thank goodness for trusty old coffee. Yeah, I look at him nervously laughing. I mean, tell us what the – why don't you give us a crystal healing session, Bulelo? I know you're hugely into that. So here's Bulelo with a crystal healing session for us to start our morning, because that's his thing. You know, he's so into that. That's definitely one of the things he likes. So go ahead. Let's do this properly. All right. Yeah. Yes.
Well, thanks, Brother Gareth.
And yes, Brother Gareth.
I just want to say – yeah, I want to breathe in the sort of gratitude this morning that we all have early in the morning. The fourth energy from the Lord of the Mighty, of course, the Scandinavian gods, Rignar, wakes up with gratitude every day if we breathe that in in the morning. Where we start this morning is that what you want is burgundy in your life. Now, burgundy brings in, obviously, as Sam has brought in, a feminine energy. It says strong, present and here. It stabilizes all of us, and that's how you get a good morning. So Brother Gareth, Sister Sam, I urge you, breathe in through the nose and exhale your problems. Breathe in gratitude, you exhale your problems, and you do that every morning.
Can you imagine? You know what, I just gotta stop you for a second there. Like, I know some very nice people who are into this stuff, right? Like, they're really good people.
Yeah.
They're lovely people. They mean well. They've got good hearts. They're kind. They're genuine. They're friendly. This is bullshit. And if you spend a lot of your time talking like Mbulelo did just now, I really feel like you haven't encountered proper difficulty for a very long time in your life. Because if you're dealing with it by, you know, a certain color of crystal and breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and communicating with some long dead god. I feel like this is you begging for meaning in your life. You know what I mean? Is that unfair of me to say that? Am I going to get into trouble with people for that?
Sam?
Well, like I know the importance of the breath. You know, I don't do as much breath work as I should, but it's so important just in terms of regulating your heart rate, stabilizing.
Yeah, because if breathing was hard and difficult, and you had to think about breathing, most people would have died. in infancy.
Be aware of your breath, Gareth. That's what
they
say.
Is that what it is?
Be aware of your heart rate.
The whole point is with your autonomous nervous system. I hate to point out the obvious here, but if you were aware of your heartbeat and you actually had an influence on it, or it had an influence on you, it wouldn't be part of your autonomic nervous system. It would have been part of your conscious nervous system. And most people would go, forgot to breathe, almost died. And forgot to make my heartbeat, almost died. Because people can't be trusted to even do those basic things.
What does the guru have to say?
Yeah, what do you say, guru?
What does the guru say?
What do you say?
I just want to bring down the tone. Because I think, Brother Gareth, you're expressing what we call a red energy, anger. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And no, that nothing good can come from anger, only destruction. I think we've seen that the world needs to shed its skin of the red and get an emerald energy, the energy of possibility, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Breathing is not just what you're breathing in, because Mother Nature is conscious. You breathe, she breathes. You don't breathe, she doesn't breathe. And we as mankind, and this is why race, religion, where you're from doesn't matter. There is only one race, the human race, the emerald race.
Yeah. Well,
there are people like this.
You know what? Thank God for people like that. They make sure that the rest of us are forced to calm down, because if we had to listen to that stuff all day, going to these sessions would make me cross instead of the purpose of them, which is to make people happy and to calm them down. It's amazing how different stuff affects different people. Yeah.
Gotta be open-minded. Come on. I'm signing up, Guru.
All right.
But listen, before we move on from that, I mean, from a very practical sort of, the neuroscience is quite strong to say things like mouth breathing are actually really bad for us. So you should be, for a practical reason, not for energy or not so that you can get rich. But there are actual health benefits to breathing, for lack of a better word, you properly. Know, I understand the autonomous side. Yeah, that's very, very different.
Yes. But that stuff.
I know what you're saying. But
so I spoke to someone the other day, and she told me she has had plastic surgery on her nose, and now breathing through her nose is much easier for her. And I suddenly thought, well, you know, again, to have these problems is. You're in a fairly good position on planet Earth if your biggest problem is remembering, okay, let's be conscious about our breathing, let's in through the nose, out through the mouth. If those are the things that you are struggling with on a daily basis, I would venture to say that probably things are mostly good for you. And I don't think I'm being unkind, and I don't think that that's a judgmental call or any of that stuff. Oh, by the way, part of the reason I suppose I was grumpy about waking up this morning, and I'm not grumpy anymore, but it's just something that you get used to the feeling of. I started watching a series last night, which wasn't a good idea, because I probably started at 8:30, 9:30. So it wasn't too late, but I you know when you get addicted to one episode after the other, and then you think, just one more, and it's already 12 o'clock, and you think, I can do another one. I'll squeeze another one in. And I got into that, and I should have really just switched the thing off. Problem was, my mind was too active anyway, so I lay in bed for another half hour after I watched that last episode, and I couldn't get to sleep. So there's going to have to be some catching up tonight, and I'll get to that. But the only reason I'm bothering you with this is the series is really good. Now, I don't know if you remember, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon are in this series called The Morning Show, which I loved. Because it gave you this fairly accurate look at what nonsense goes on in like corporate media in America. And they basically, it's called The Morning Show. And it's about this TV show that these people do in the morning. It's one of these cheesy kind of, hey, America, we're waking up with you this morning. Those kind of people, you know. But they get into how, you know, there's an allegation of sexual misconduct against the host, and then this woman played by Alex, whatever her name is, she's played by Jennifer Aniston. She gets caught up in it, and you know, the cover-ups, and there's the board that's getting involved, and then there's the CEO, the new CEO, and the program managers, and all of these people. And it kind of reminded me of my career, starting off not in television but in radio, because radio used to be, morning radio used to be just like that. There was a team of people. You'd come in the morning, you'd have producers, and there'd be assistants to the producers. And like putting together a morning show used to be a big thing, you know. It was a complicated machine that took a lot of different people to make it work. And this show, even though this is set in New York and it's way more, you know, people and bigger budgets and all of that stuff, you get sucked in. And I loved that first season. It was just phenomenal. It was a really well-written series, full of all the twists and turns that you would expect, you know, properly put together, magnificently acted by the people in it. I think Steve Carell is the other guy, and yeah, Reese Witherspoon's great. And then there are all these sort of side characters who are also part of the story that are also terrific. But season two's just come out, right? It's an Amazon original. And I started with this first episode and I'm like, oh no, this is kind of lame, because it's about a bygone era, this era in television, which is finished now. You know, no one in America is watching those late night talk shows that, like they used to. You know, the different Jimmys, there are about five of them. And
Fallon.
Fallon and Kimmel and all of those guys. No one's watching those shows anymore. The ratings are in the toilet. They're probably about a 20th of what they used to be in terms of their influence. In fact, they probably have more viewers online now than they do actually watching the shows live. And those are late at night in America. But the same thing goes for morning TV. Like the kind of thing to give people in South Africa a context for it. Morning shows in America started about 7 a.m. And it's like what Leanne Manis does, kind of. You know, that show on SABC that Leanne Manis does. And these shows are also, they're just not popular, because what people do now is they wake up in the morning, first thing they do is they go on their phone, and they get the news from the phone, they get the weather from the phone, they get, and it's all personalized. So it's the news that they want to hear, you know, from their political point of view, and with the people they're most interested in, they go to their podcasts, this is what people do. So the whole thing's changed. And I thought when I was watching this first episode, oh no, this is going to be irrelevant, it's going to be outdated, it's going to be lame. But again, the story, and I was trying to remember how season one ended, because it was so long ago that I watched it. But by the end of episode one, I'm like, okay, let's go. Episode two, I'm ready for this. Episode three, no. Episode four. So yeah, I'm pretty tired now, but I got into it in a big way. I got sucked right in. Stupid me.
Let me check it out.
Yeah, go watch. I actually want to know what you guys think of it, because it's the kind of show you also want to talk about with people who are also watching it. Yesterday, says Michael, in the MKT show, we learned that we never went to the moon and that Hitler ended up in Argentina. Not very sporting of you to overwhelm us with those hard facts in the middle of the day. Have you been hosting conspiracy theorists on your show, Mbulelo? What's going on there?
Oh, my God. So I got this kid, James, on there. And so we were talking about education and, you know, sorry for him. He chose something that, you know, there's only three things where I've got a massive ego: history, science, and sport. It's the only three things I know. Don't ask me anything else. I don't know anything else. I've put in a lot of time into history, chemistry, and particularly football. He started saying conspiracy theories are educational. Huh. And I said, whoa, I'm not, because we also have a responsibility, we're on a platform here. Do not say that just because something's interesting. And then he started going into Hitler was, I mean, in a, obviously we all know the theory of him being in a bunker in Argentina then. And I thought, and I had to, like, it was supposed to be a sports show, and I said, stop, you think this guy from 33 to 39 in those 10 years, as he built up the gusto of Germany, which was on its knees, to go and fight the Second World War, popped over to Argentina for what, a golf game? And while he was there, he thought, you know what I should do while I'm here?
Build a bunker
just in case in 1944 in Stalingrad things go wrong. And I thought to myself, my God, this child went to St. Stidian's. Like, I'm not going to have it.
That's an embarrassment to just, you know, for his school to hear him talking like that. And listen, I don't mind a conspiracy theory because they're very entertaining. But it is, yes, it's sort of weird to me when, because then like what's the dumbest conspiracy theory you've heard people believe in? Bigfoot is pretty much right up there for me. Bigfoot, I'm not completely convinced that the aliens aren't a possibility, so I wouldn't throw them into the wackiest category. I'd say aliens are in the, yeah, maybe that's possible category. If you stress.
Sorry. Extraterrestrials. Demi Lovato said extraterrestrials. Yes. Have some respect.
What do you think, Sam? You know, like, what's the dumbest conspiracy? How do you rate people who believe in conspiracy theories? Which ones do you put at the bottom of the pile as being the dumbest? Which people do you say, that's okay. I can vibe with those people.
Guys, you know, like, for somebody who has two young children, I'm watching this stuff all the time. Yeah. I'm watching things like Bigfoot, both one and two, and I'm in there. I'm actually believing that stuff, you know, and maybe I'm the idiot. I don't know. Maybe I am, but it all makes sense. Bigfoot living in the forest, he's abandoned his son and the wife, and it's a secret. And then one day the son finds a letter in the floor and reads it and realizes his dad is alive and gets on a truck and goes to the forest and finds his dad and actually has like Bigfoot powers. I believe it.
Wow.
Makes sense. Yeah.
All right. So you're basically in with all the conspiracy theorists then. So, all right. That went really well. Listen, I mean, we've become very judgy about this, but as I said a while ago, you remember there used to be, and I don't know if you guys are too young to remember this, but there used to be a newspaper in America called the National Enquirer. There were a number of tabloids in the UK who did the same thing. We had People magazine, but it used to be made in a really shit paper. It was almost like toilet paper. You know, it's like really cheap paper with bad printing on it. And it used to be full of stories about like three-headed children that were born in a hospital in Rustenburg and a woman who gave birth to a furry baby. And, you know, the aliens abducted me and put probes in my asshole. It was those kinds of stories all the time. And people loved that stuff. They loved it. And you know, of course we made fun of them, but we didn't have to ban them from the social space. We didn't have to because they were dangerous. You know, and somehow with Corona, now these conspiracy theory people are like, they're also prevented from talking about their conspiracy theories, which I think is... The rest of us are missing out on the wackiness. And now everything has to be true, which is boring. I mean, like, I want to hear these people talk. I want James to have an ability to say that he really believes in Hitler going to a bunker in Argentina. And, you know, the flat earthers are probably the dumbest ones in my book. Someone here says, Uncle Potse says flat earthers, and so does Quentin. I think they're probably, because, you know, come on. You can download a maps program on your phone right now, and you can see how, from a distance, the Earth looks, you know, round. And as you come in closer, because of the huge and vast size of this thing, it seems to be flattened. But even if you go up in a plane and you go high enough, you can sometimes see that curvature. And then you see from outer space, there's these live transmissions from people who are in the International Space Station, and they show you what the Earth looks like. What happens on the edge? I always wonder with these people, like, surely these questions bother you. And I know that there are some real flat Earth true believers, and they've got answers to questions like that. But I don't know that those people can be – there's a wackiness, and then there's like a – oh, God, okay, we're dealing with people who just do not believe in truth at all. They think everything's negotiable. It's all gray area.
And that's where I have a problem, is that an exercise in creativity is not an exercise in fact. Like people love conspiracy theories because people hate rules. People hate rules because you can't express yourself, really.
Right.
Like, and you don't need to go to space, by the way. If you know something very simply, how to observe light, right? Anybody can do this. And there's a reason why at some stage it will curve as you observe it. Don't worry about the flat earth thing. Like, don't need to get on a plane.
Yeah. It's not going to affect your medieval mind if you can't get your head around the fact that the earth is round. Harrit says, U.S. government turning frogs gay. That's very Alex Jones. Now that guy, yeah, he's in.
What?
You remember? Yes, turning the frogs gay. The frogs. Look at it. All right. Do yourself a favor. Either you can do it now or after the show. Type in Alex Jones gay frogs. And you will laugh your backside off for the rest of the day. He believes that they're actually putting stuff in the water and turning the frogs gay. Seriously.
So if frogs are turning gay, instead of going ribbit, are they going rabbit, rabbit, rabbit?
I don't know.
Crazy.
There are people who still believe that there are hormones in the water system. I mean, Ruth is into this. Listen, she says, taken from females who take the pill. You never know. Again, you know, every conspiracy theorist has a grain of value in it. There's like, they latch onto one little thing and then they start saying, well, you know, because of that, they make these leaps that are not causal links. They jump to conclusions. They tie unrelated things together. And then before you know it, you've got a great conspiracy theory. But some people make a good living out of this. We're not going to knock
them. They do. It's also because thinking properly is actually really hard, and it's a science. So there's a field of study in philosophy to get you to think properly so that you don't make what we call correlative disjuncts as you go along to, oh, well, there's something furry that once I think I saw Bigfoot's real. And then you let your creativity fill in the gaps. We have scientific methods of thinking, and it's hard. It's hard. You're not allowed to just have vibes.
Here's a good one.
Which is what James had yesterday.
Sam, how's this? Matthew says, I once heard a conspiracy theory that Khloe Kardashian is O.J. Simpson's daughter.
No.
Come on.
I don't know if that's a conspiracy theory because...
Here we go.
She's a little more... And we've seen her tendencies as well. Her bones are a little more.
You think?
If you know what I'm saying, compared to the rest.
What you were saying earlier, Mulelo, about the thinking and stuff is absolutely spot on. There's something called cognitive distorted thinking, right?
Yeah.
We talk about 15 different styles of thinking, and it's like you thinking in a particular way, which is totally unrealistic to the reality. And this is very, very detrimental. And you've got, you know, all sorts of examples like overgeneralizing, overcatastrophizing, fortune telling. It's things that you believe type of thinking that is actually not realistic.
Yes.
So overcatastrophizing.
But isn't it true? Hang on a second. Like, this is how some people live every day of their lives. And there's this, Oprah's got to be blamed for some of this as well. This your truth stuff. Where people actually think that because they feel a certain way, the truth is that. Does that fit into that category of cognitive dissonance that you're talking about now?
That's spot on. So like I said, overgeneralizing is one of them, right? If you've had a terrible experience in a relationship, you just think every other relationship is going to be exactly like that, right? Fortune telling is another one. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, what next week will bring. That's a style. We just said over-catastrophizing. This is like with the whole issue about the conspiracy theories and whatever. I never want to have a conversation with somebody like that. In fact, I might need the
I would be with me. I'd venture to say, like, there's the Oprah, your truth stuff, which is a huge problem. But the over-catastrophizing, that sounds to me like a lot of this climate change movement. Like, Greta Thunberg is this young girl with serious, like, emotional problems. And she's been told that the earth is going to die, and her whole life's a fucking mess because of this. She wakes up in the morning and she's worried about like the trees and the penguins and the atmosphere is dissolving away. It's like she's in constant state of panic and fear over the earth wanting to die or dying out because of human interference in the ecosystem and overpopulation and pollution and God knows what else she's blaming for this. But that's no way to live. It's horrible. She's in a conspiracy theory, even if there's truth to it. You know, even if there is, you know, climate change, which I think everybody accepts the climate's always changing. And over Earth's history, it's gone from very, very cold and sometimes to going very, very hot. Lots of rain to very little rain. massive volcanic activity, the meteor that killed the dinosaurs. I mean, for God's sake, the Earth's climate's always in flux. But I think people like that are living in a constant state of fear. And to go back to the crystal healing nonsense that we started this with, some people have got this stuff in their heads to such a degree that they actually do find themselves in a state of anxiety the whole time. And they need those breathing exercises or whatever just to calm themselves down because they believe in so much stuff that they can't actually just be happy. They can't actually just stop and be happy. Very sad. Very difficult.
Here's my favorite saying that I've been using. We'll call this my chakra. So they say, serenity is not freedom from the storm, Gareth. Serenity is peace within the storm. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, I love this. So here we go. Here's Matthew. He says, here's another one. Elvis was a zombie celebrity who faked his death so that he could live a mundane life out of the spotlight.
Come on.
What?
Yeah, I've heard that. They say that that tomb in Graceland is empty. Butler is saying, is Gareth a climate change denier? Oh, God, here we go. You see? Michael says, truth is negotiable for socialists, but capitalists will tell you that you cannot pretend a loss is a profit or vice versa unless you're doing your taxes. You do hear this from people on the left. They're like, well, actually, money's just made up, so there isn't such a thing as debt. And, oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, watch. Let's see how the bank deals with that if you just take out a huge loan and never pay it back. Let's see how that goes for you. There are such things as reality, and they come smashing into your life. The funniest one I've heard recently, and I do find it amusing because, like, it's so close to some people's belief systems and it upsets them so easily. Climate change is one of those things. There's a very funny one that, you know, these people who believe that Michelle Obama is a man. And
she just has big hands.
No, but there's some people who believe she's a man, and then they'll find you like a video clip of one of my friends believes this. He says, yo, she's definitely a man. Her real name is Michael, and she and Barack are actually in a gay relationship. And I'm like, yeah, and the children? And he goes, no. The children are their best friend's children that they had artificial insemination. I'm like, oh, really? And they're convinced of this. They'll show you videos on – like where Michelle Obama goes on Ellen, and I'd say, look, but you can see she's got a penis. And you find yourself like watching this video with like magnified times 100, and you're like, that's what you got? That's the information? That's the theory? They believe it. They actually believe it. Yep. Mind your mouth, Carl. Chloe is the brains in the business, says Hanging Out with Jay. Is Chloe the less attractive one? Because this is what Carl said to get her all fired up there. Then, yep, that makes sense. A lot of OJ in that vodka. Woo!
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Anyway, lots of people. Oh, yeah. Matthew says, nonsense, bro. You see, again, her hands are much bigger than Bulelo's hands, says Mongezi. So Mongezi's into that theory as well. Anna Marie Nell. If I were in a bubble with no exposure to news since 2019 and I only stepped out today, I would think this is a sci-fi movie. Yes. I mean, coronavirus, you know, this.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of theories. They call them conspiracy theories, but they're turning out to be true. Even the people who told us that we weren't allowed to say this on the internet a year ago are now having to admit that this is that lab in Wuhan, which is where the coronavirus started. Remember they had that bullshit story about how it was a market, a wet market, where people were selling like bat parts, and then that's where we're – turns out that it was this laboratory in Wuhan. But if you'd said that a year and a half ago, you would have had your internet accounts shut down. Remember? So just,
yeah, how's that with the Simpsons and all there? Like
the Simpsons that they know they could predict. They could predict the future on the Simpsons, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Matt Groening's a time traveler.
I'm telling
100%.
You,
100%.
Predictions are mad accurate.
If you were a time traveler, if you could go forward and backward in time, wouldn't you have the most incredible life and you'd live in total peace and serenity? You wouldn't come back and create a kid's cartoon that was actually for adults. That's the part I don't get. Like, if you could guess the lottery numbers for the biggest lotto, or you could buy shares in like the biggest companies in the world, but like 2 weeks after they listed, and just hold on to them for 40 years, and now you'd be a multi-billionaire on the Forbes list. Wouldn't you want that rather than to be the creator of The Simpsons?
No, because there's almost a messianic sort of position that Matt Groening's taking, you know, almost for those who believe in Jesus, you know, let you that be whatever it is.
I don't know a lot of people who are praying to Matt Groening. I've got to tell you the truth.
No, but he's playing the long game, you know, is that it's to say, I told you so. He's really taking a power position of, hey, I put the gospel out there. You didn't read it, but I told you guys, you should have just looked. And that's a much more powerful position than just winning the lottery, I would say, in the long run. In Matt Groening's, you know, I think he's playing the Jesus game rather than the Judas Iscariot thing.
Well, you know, he could be a time traveler. He's done all that and made the
Simpsons. Oh, he definitely is.
According to Ruth.
He definitely
is. So Ruth's saying, yes, he's done all the stuff I said, and he also created The Simpsons.
Spot on.
Seems like a long route to being Jesus. I mean, if he just got on, you know, a couple of TV shows and made some predictions and said, I'm a real psychic, and then those predictions, because he's a time traveler, he would get them exactly right. And then we would say, oh my God, this guy does seem to know more than the average human. He is a superhuman. We should listen to him. Instead, he's creating a cartoon. You know what I mean?
No, but he's a time traveler. So he's doing it now. He's laying down the foundation. When he gets around, what, 65,
all right,
he time travels forward. He's still sick.
All right, let me ask you this. If you could predict the future. Sammy, let's say you could go into your time machine and you could go maximum of a year ahead. So you couldn't go like 10 years into the future, but you'd go a year from now. What would be the first thing you would do when you got back? Yes, you discovered a whole bunch of stuff. You figured out, like, you know, which important people are going to die, what the most important news stories were going to be for the next year, all this stuff. You go a year into the future and then you come straight back. What are you going to do? Are you going to take full advantage of that stuff and make financial gains because of it? Are you going to change something dramatically about your life? Like, what are you going to do if you suddenly have this info about the future and it's accurate because you know you've been there?
You know, the first thing that I actually thought of is nothing, like do absolutely nothing and tell no one, you know. Mm. But I hear what you're saying about the financial gain. I was looking at a very interesting book, Gareth, called Turning Your Passion into Profit, you know, how to make big bucks on the things that you know and the things that you love. Right. And
sounds,
I suppose,
like a
that
good
maybe
book.
If I had to do something like this. No, it's a brilliant book. Andy Harrington, check it out. If I, you know, based on what you've said, if I had to do this, maybe I wouldn't go as far as reading this because I'd know that I've got all this information handy. Mm-hmm. But is it to my detriment? You know, am I going to live a long, happy life if I share this information with people? Am I going to fear for my life? Guru?
Mm. Yeah. What do you think, Guru?
That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, oh, Sam. Maybe I should
just do nothing. Maybe I just sit with this information and just do nothing.
Oh no, Sammy! This is this book that you've just recommended. I don't know if I like this. I just saw a picture of it. It's one of those books with like gold lettering on the front cover.
You're looking at the right book.
Yeah, it looks like one of those bullshit books that is he a motivational speaker? Please don't say yes, otherwise I'm. Is he?
We're talking about time traveling. Let's go back to time traveling.
Is he a motivational speaker? Tell me the truth.
Let's go back to time traveling.
Let's stick to time traveling.
No, come on. Is he a conspiracy theorist? A motivational speaker?
I'm not going to tell you what you don't want to hear. So.
Oh no. Okay. Well, I just looked up your book. Now I'm disappointed. And you see, I think of you like you think of conspiracy theorists who believe in Bigfoot.
Oh no! I don't mind.
I think the hottest places in hell are reserved for motivational speakers, pedophile priests, and people who believe in flat Earth. Those are the hottest parts of hell.
What's your issue with motivational speakers, Gareth?
And people that wear long pants with socks and Birkenstocks. Also, they also go to those pits
just,
of hell.
Just Birkenstocks. You don't even have to say with socks. Just Birkenstocks. The worst things ever. Totally.
What's the issue with the motivational speakers, Gareth?
All right. Well,
got it.
They are the the lowest of the low. They're the bottom feeders of society. Anyone who's running around and saying to people, come on, let's get motivated. Those are dangerous people. They, you know, in a previous time, they were the same people who stirred up a mob to burn a witch. They're exactly the same.
Burn her.
Why must we burn her? Because she's a heretic. You know, and they're a witch. And they go under this guise.
How do you
know
she's a witch?
They're like, they always operate under this guise of like, I'm going to help people and I'm here to make their lives easier. I'm going to give them some secrets to the universe and, you know, get them up and about and help them to improve their lives. That's what they say. What they do is they make money out of gullible people. It's no different to the priesthood, really, except that the motivational speakers don't have 1,000 or 2,000 or more years of a body of, like, you know, wisdom or spiritual history to draw on. They have nothing. They stumble upon some small truth and they basically weave it into their own modern day conspiracy theory. I find that they are some of the most untruthful people I know. And I've met motivational speakers. There are one or two who I think are good people, but a lot of them are just 100% bullshitters. They are totally selling nonsense to gullible and dumb people, and they're ruining their lives because they will sell them a dream, and everybody will buy a dream because dreams are, you know, they're relatively easy to fall for, and there's a hope, and there's a hope part of this that people just can't get away from, especially if their lives are difficult. You sell them a bit of hope, and they fall for that. You promise them results which you never really have to deliver. I mean, if there was a motivational speaker who said to some group of people, look, I'll tell you what, I will invest R1,000 in each of you who are at my conference because my secrets are so important and so valuable and so objectively true that all of you are going to have success. I'll invest R1,000 in each of you, and in 5 years' time, I'll come back and I'll take some profit. Then I'd say sure. But they're not speculators. They don't actually believe that the people in the crowd. And, you know, they'll make excuses like, oh, they didn't integrate it properly or they didn't work on themselves enough. There's always some out for them. It's like the church will say to you, oh, well, you're still a sinner and, you know, you haven't expunged your sins properly. Or they'll blame it on, you know, some person who read an evil book when they were 14 or something, so they don't have to be responsible. Why do you like them? What? Tell me what you think about them as valuable. Like.
Well, I don't mind motivational speakers, but I've got a question here for you, Gareth, quickly. Are you not able to separate the message from the messenger? Because to dismiss certain personal development principles just because I agree with you, it can get ugly at a certain level. But if you're able to, because you don't have to take the information as well. There's a personal responsibility to say, that's malarkey.
I think it does matter who's selling you the message. I think it really does.
I totally agree.
Like so most of these motivational speaker types, are they very slimy people? They're unctuous second-hand car salesmen. That's what they are.
But is that not true of every industry? 90% of anything is BS.
No, I don't think
90%
so.
of broadcasters are crap. 90% of footballers are crap. 90% of – you don't want to be in business with 90% of people. One out of 10 people
– You're not wrong on that front.
That's just
to the degree that like a certain tiny percentage of people are always going to be the best ones in that business. But even them, like let's say that who's that guy? That Tony Robbins or whatever? Anthony Robbins? Is that his name?
Yeah. Tony Robbins, big teeth,
Big like teeth.
I've also got big teeth.
Big fake enthusiasm for everything. I just fake. It's the fakeness, I think, that bothers me. But he's hugely successful. He could probably buy me and put me into slavery. Me and all my family, he could put us into slavery. He seems to me to be a totally inauthentic person. I hate people like that. There's something about that which just puts me off in the worst way. Can't stand.
No, I think it's really just about, you know, what are you looking for? I mean, you know, what kind of information do you really want out there? You know, and you can find it. I mean, this is why we have the internet. You know, this is why we get to create, curate, like you said in the beginning, Gareth, like how we want to start our day. Who are we going to as a source of inspiration, as a source of, you know, resources and that sort of thing? It's entirely up to you. And, you know, to be very honest, I kind of live my life now in such a way where I'm the motivator. I'm motivating myself to do stuff, you know. And with all the sort of shit going on in the world, it's like, how do I find balance, you know, in my life? How do I become a part of all of this stuff, right? And we forget that, you know, all these people who we listen to, it's like, how can you know what is best for me? How can you, you know, tell me how to live my life and how can you motivate me in the right way type of thing, you know? Yeah. So it really is for the individual to motivate themselves, right?
Yeah, yeah,
if you think
of
your life, Gareth, it's your life is not just, you know, work and Mulelo, your life is not just football and science. You know, it's a whole bunch of things. It's a plethora of stuff like
hey,
family. And
listen, Mike.
And,
listen, Mike Tyson. When did you get that tattoo on your neck?
Oh man, you know what? It used to be smaller. It used to be so much smaller, and I thought maybe I should just cover it and change it up.
Look at you.
And then,
how many tattoos have you got? I see them on your hands.
Well, let's talk about my nails first.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah, let me put you full screen here. Show off your nails. That looks...
Okay, my nails. Had this done yesterday.
You know, if you weren't so beautiful, you'd look like a prisoner.
Listen, I'm happy to be one of those. If I could meet the guy from Prison Break, if we could, like, share a room together.
But he's gay.
I'm saying to you, if you weren't so attractive... You would look like either a prisoner or a sailor.
I don't know what's worse.
I'll tell you what's great is like good looking people, and you're in that category, right? You make tattoos look sexy. On an ugly person, tattoos make them look worse.
Guru, what do you have to say?
In this case, I do need to step into the real world and obviously come back from the sixth dimension, which is obviously enlightenment. We are in the dream state.
Yeah, come back to reality.
The third dimension is the dream state. But okay, I do want to say this in reality.
Yeah.
Good-looking people get away with murder.
Yes.
Like, I'm not into, they can do anything. Well, it's kind of nice when you put it that way. If a good person, like Sam's just been getting away her whole life with just doing anything. That's going to – good for you, Sam. And I'm happy for you, by the way. Looking good is – you know, I'm never going to experience it, but you're just – you know, let me get a neck tattoo.
What I'm
excellent.
Saying, Bulelo, if you and I had to have a neck tattoo and hand tattoos like her,
yes,
people would immediately write us off as being gangsters, criminals, or
– I agree.
Bank robbers or prisoners or sailors. And they'd think less of us. But because Sammy is attractive, and I'm not objectifying you here because you can't even say that sometimes these days. People think that you're making inappropriate advances. But what I'm saying is that you, because of how good looking you are, for you, it's like a value add. It's seen totally differently to the way it would be seen if Bolelo and I had to get that. So own it. It's beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. So listen, we've got to get through quite a lot of stuff this morning. We've got a lot happening. We've also got Blind History coming on, a new episode of that this morning, which I'm excited about. Here's Zach who says, morning guys, talk all you want. I don't care. My morning is made by waking up to Sam's face. Hi, Sam. Pity I'm married. Imagine how great his wife feels when she reads that. That's so nice.
Is the wife also watching?
Bulelo, well, it's decent feedback.
Bulelo is smitten, according to Christy. Look at those hand gestures. You're doing a lot of hand gesturing this morning.
Oh, who, me?
You are, Bulelo.
That's my Michelle Obama.
You're showing off your Michelle Obama hands.
I'm feeling threatened by Michelle Obama. Like somebody said, my hands aren't as big.
All right. Hold on. All right. Okay. So we got Sean Sanders on standby. I've got to get to him. It's about time we spoke to Sean this week about the interesting developments in the world of cryptocurrency, and there is a lot to get into this week. Sean Sanders is the co-founder of Revix, and he is here to tell us all about it. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Listen, first things first.
We've met, by the way.
No,
sorry.
You haven't met.
I know we speak every single week.
This is Sam Nahoka, Sean Sanders. There we go. There's two.
Sean, wonderful to meet you.
Well,
lovely to meet you as well.
Don't worry about me and Bolelo. I mean, we're just, you know.
Chop liver. We're just chop liver here.
All right. So, Sean, first things first, I saw something on LinkedIn. You're in some Standard Bank like thing where you talking about your business, and it looks to me like, you know, you're being honored for something. A group of this very small people, a small group of people rather, who have done extremely well, and you're like an ambassador for this program or something. What is that? Did I see that right?
Yeah, you did. So long story short, there was the World Entrepreneur Day. Yes. And then that extended into the World Entrepreneur Week. Uh-huh. And Standard Bank did a series really where they brought together a whole bunch of different South African entrepreneurs to share their stories.
Amazing.
And I was invited to that. And yeah, it was super cool. I had a lot of fun. They made me look really smoggy and fancy in a video. Mm-hmm. So I quite enjoyed that. But
it was good.
Yeah, overall, loads of fun and a group of awesome people.
Well, well done. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, you've grown this business along with, obviously, you've got a great team of people there. But one of the reasons that I think so many people are taking what we say every week and implementing it into their own life and their own planning, you know, going ahead for their money and all the rest of it, isn't just because crypto is so exciting, but it's because you guys have made a success of it in your business. And I think that that gives it credibility and gravity. So let's just talk about crypto for a second, because El Salvador, which is not a place that most people have on their radar, they have decided to create a Bitcoin city. Now, what is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, only in crypto, right? You have to laugh about it. So Nayib Bukele, which is their president, came out back in late August, early September, to declare Bitcoin to be legal tender in El Salvador. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have to, as a retailer, accept Bitcoin if it is offered as a means of payment alongside the local currency. Now, that was a really big step forward because it was the first country ever to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. I mean, now you've got a load of other South American markets looking at this. You've even got Southeast Asian countries looking at this. So, I mean, maybe Bitcoin becomes legal tender in other jurisdictions in over the next few months. This is a big one and a really interesting project. It's full of controversy. So essentially, Bitcoin City is meant to be this circular city that exists around a volcano. Now, I mean, that already sounds a little dodgy, but the idea really, and I completely kind of, I don't know, I shunned this. I said that this will never happen, but now it's happening. So I'm going back and eating my words here. In that they're going to put a geothermal Bitcoin mining rig attached to the volcano. So it'll be the first time ever that you're going to be able to mine Bitcoin from the volcano. Now, true story. I know I'm not making this up. It's absolutely nuts.
Oh, wow.
The Bitcoin mining rig will generate, in order to fund this Bitcoin mining rig, they need to raise money, right? And they're doing this through a bond. It's the first ever Bitcoin bond. Mm-hmm. So you can essentially buy into this project's growth and all the rest using Bitcoin.
Right.
And you'll be rewarded in Bitcoin. And essentially, this entire city will be, for all intents and purposes, a bit of a tax haven. There'll be no taxes, no income tax, no company tax, no tax whatsoever, other than value-added tax that are levied on some of the goods that are sold from within the city.
Okay.
Now, I'm not joking. When I first heard of this, I said that this is a complete joke. This will never happen. But like, I think I can say this on the show. This shit is happening. It's crazy. It's actually moving forward. Like, it's nuts.
Now, how does this affect the Bitcoin environment? Because this does sound nuts. And people who don't like Bitcoin are already saying, oh, please, this is a big bubble that's going to burst. And all of these Bitcoin people, and we all kind of know the story because you come here and you tell us every week about what's really happening there. And you don't, for example, in your portfolios and in the indices that you sell, you don't buy into like Dogecoin and all the bullshit. But this sounds like a bit of a nonsense thing. Or is it maybe an indication, just because El Salvador have decided this is legal tender in their country, could this be an indication that other countries might be following and that Bitcoin is becoming more ubiquitous and that it could very well become, in some places, a very serious contender like many of the fiat currencies around the world?
That's really, I think, the question that we're going to be able to answer in 5 or 6 years' time. I think rewind 7 years ago, you'd have been completely nuts to climb into a stranger's car and drive around. That's Uber today, right?
Yeah.
And the same goes for Airbnb. Literally just go through sort of all the new emerging platforms that exist out there. And they all seemed absolutely nuts at some point in time. We could be in a very, very interesting period where Bitcoin is overtaking some national currencies, right? I mean, I don't know if you guys saw what happened with the Rand this last week, but the Rand's kind of tanked. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everyone's wealth in South Africa is a good 4.5% lower than it was at the start of the week in dollar terms.
Absolutely.
And at some point in time, there's the tipping point where everyone's going, well, hell, like my property over, you know, the 20 years that I've held it has grown near zero in value.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay with that. I want to have assets that appreciate. And, you know, relative to the dollar, the pound, the euro, the emerging market currencies have failed to do that. There's not a single one that has grown over the last 10 years relative to the major currencies. So maybe this entire fiat currency experiment that we've been dealing with over the last while, now I sound like one of those conspiracy theory people. but maybe the entire fiat currency system that we know today, which has actually only been around in earnest for the last 70 to 90 years, isn't actually all that cracked up to be. I mean, you've got $25 trillion debt that's just been created over the last 18 months. Like, this doesn't end without incredible inflation, and now inflation's coming through. So, yeah, I mean, this could be the start of something much bigger. Let's see.
Well, apparently this president of El Salvador gave every citizen $30 in Bitcoin on their cell phones, and you can actually buy a burger on the side of the road with Bitcoin in El Salvador. And then Carl says, hey, Sean, I hear Bitcoin is just erupting in El Salvador. Very nice. Very, very nice. Now, do you think that there are going to be governments that do what China did and try to ban Bitcoin, in particularly governments in parts of the world like ours, you know, the developing world, where maybe they're threatened. They think that, you know, this is going to affect their tax income and so on.
Without a doubt.
They're going
without
to.
Without a doubt. 100%. I mean, this is going, this China is just a start. There's going to be loads of other governments that start doing this. So there's going to be a binary outcome at some point.
Mm.
Maybe it's not binary, but it is in my mind very much this way. It's either we're going to lean into this industry and, you know, try to promote crypto adoption. And maybe this sits alongside the traditional financial system because you're not slowing it down. I mean, it's $3.5 trillion worth of value that's sitting in crypto now. I mean, yeah, I was actually looking at the stat the other day before I continue. Bitcoin is sitting between, believe it or not, it's more valuable as a single cryptocurrency than Facebook. And it's just about as valuable as Tesla and a couple billion off Amazon. So, That's how valuable Bitcoin is.
You know, but this is what I don't understand is all these people who are, and there are still lots of people who think that crypto is a crock of shit, right? But they will invest in Tesla and Facebook. And you're like, well, Bitcoin is also a way people are investing their money. And frankly, it seems to be a more valuable way of investing your money. It has an overall value, as you've just pointed out, that's bigger and better. And Michael says digital assets like cryptocurrency are the only anti-inflationary assets on the planet right now. I mean, inflation is a biggie, and we've discussed this a number of times. But let's go to Ripple for a second for those people who are real crypto nerds and want to know what's happening. So Ripple's been involved in a number of legal disputes over the last while. What's actually happening over there, and why has Ripple sort of fallen off the agenda as being one of the cool and interesting cryptocurrencies?
So in 2020, and it was in September of 2020, the SEC, which is the regulator in the US, they came out to say XRP, the cryptocurrency of Ripple, is very much like a security. And now they wanted to investigate Ripple Labs, the ones that introduced this cryptocurrency into the market for securities for an illegal securities offering. Now, that caused massive backlash. Why? Because all the cryptocurrency platforms across the globe now have to treat this token, or would potentially have to treat this, this token of XRP very much the same as though they would treat a stock, let's say, of Amazon or Naspers or whatever it may be. Now, obviously, there's massive ramifications if you're treating a cryptocurrency that's meant to be used for quick and cheap international transfers the same way as you would treat a security. I mean, they just don't work in the same world. So I guess long story short, that came about, that significantly impacted the value of XRP over the 2 or 3 weeks after that announcement. XRP went from being the third most valuable cryptocurrency to the ninth. And slowly since then, it's been regaining some value. I think it is perhaps one of the more interesting sort of standalone punts that you could take in this market. Not to say that that's sort of the strategy I would follow, but there is progress being made now in the US. And maybe over the next 3 to 6 months, you'll see some good news come out. But it does seem Brad Garlinghouse, who's the CEO of Ripple Labs, He's come out to say that, listen, progress is being made with the regulators. And when this end announcement does come out, which is probably also not going to be just binary, i.e. it's a security or it's not a security. It's probably going to be, hey, listen, let's give you a little slap on the wrist, a little fine, but it's not a security. That sets precedent for the rest of the cryptocurrency industry. And that becomes something that's quite meaningful for this entire industry going forward.
All right, last thing from you, because you always surprise us with these promotions and it lets people get in with, zero charges sometimes and that kind of thing. You've given us a couple of entries here. We all bought some Solana and Uniswap in the previous promos. What do you got on at the moment? Any special deals for us? Come on, give us a bargain.
Yes, sir. So we have all of the cryptocurrencies on our platform, bundles, single cryptocurrencies. I sound like one of those guys, like, you know, standing with a bull next to you going for 100. Anyway, no, it's going, all of those are going with no fees. Literally buy every single cryptocurrency on the Revix platform for no fees. We want people to get into the space. We want them to try it out. You can literally go along and invest 150 Rand, buy a cryptocurrency, invest 150,000 Rand if you want, buy a cryptocurrency and you'll pay zero fees.
Nice.
Literally that simple.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Sean. Good to see you, dude.
Thanks very much. Have a good rest of the day.
Sean Sanders, Revix.com, R-E-V-I-X.com. So, Sammy, what's actually happening with you? Because the last time we checked in with you is like a couple of months ago, actually. And you were telling us, among other things, about the difficult little time that you had with that recovery not so long ago. So tell us what's the update from you and like how are things going?
Yeah, so I mean, the last time we spoke, like you said, was about 5 months or so, and I had actually shared that I was in recovery. I'm actually a couple of days away, 4 days away from reaching my one-year milestone, which I'm really excited about. But as they say, it's one day at a time. So yeah, that's been happening for me. And I through recovery, I've really seen the importance of service. You know, I not that I was never of service, you know, but it's a really big deal for me. And they say, you know, service keeps us clean. And not just service, you know, within the fellowship and I'm talking in the recovery fellowship, but service, you know, outside of that. I do some volunteer work with an organization called Rise Against Domestic Violence. And it's such a painful thing to do, but very fulfilling. And, you know, sometimes we put pressure on ourselves and we think that we can change the world and we can, you know, get people out of situations. I mean, they have to do it themselves. Sometimes it's just about holding the space, you know, giving people that emotional support. And, you know, I've really had to work on my EQ, which is something that I was terrible at for a very long time. But yes, you know, the recovery is going well. I'm in a good space. I'm trying to be of service as much as I can. I've done some reading on leadership styles, you know, which I think is quite interesting. And my leadership styles, just FYI, charismatic leadership, servant leadership, and transformational leadership. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I'm really not the right guy to ask these things because I don't even know what you're talking about. my EQ is about as developed as a snail's ability to come up with calculus equations. I don't know. I mean, tell me about those leadership styles. So what is transformational leadership? Is that about being able to take something and turn it into something else? And is it about just explain it to me? I mean, I am interested, even though I don't have the ability that you have to make sense of this.
Ah, come on. So I was actually linking it to this whole thing of being of service and being in recovery and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, where it comes from is with my studies. I'm doing some life coach stuff. And I'm not going to be a motivational speaker, Gareth.
Okay,
don't worry.
Good. Oh, thank God.
But here's the thing. You know, as much as I've got this recovery and I've got the life coach stuff and I've got all sorts of other things and so on and so forth, I've realized how important it is for me, perhaps that's my purpose, to be of service. So when they talk about servant leadership or things like charismatic leadership and transformational leadership, you as, alarm's going off, I'm not sure why.
No.
You as the leader, right? You're not just saying, I'm making the decisions and I'm going to decide how we're going to have a better life for all, right? It's about meeting the needs of the people. It's about inspiring the people. It's about getting the input from everybody, right? And I think that's...
Sounds
that's
like politics. Isn't that politics? I mean, that sounds like what politicians say. I'm not making... I'm not
meeting the needs of the people?
Yeah, that's...
Do no, they even do that?
Politicians, do they, even they do. Say that stuff all the time. That's what they say.
They do they say it, but they don't meet the needs.
No, of course.
But I'm not a politician. That's the difference.
No. Because I think in your leadership style, you might mean you actually, you say it, but you also have to go and do it. You've got to not only create, you have to go and meet the people where they are and not just say it and then go away and have a blue brigade for wherever you go, just to go and get, I don't know, lollipop at Woolworths or whatever they have to. I don't know what these
pop-ups and that's what I've been learning about myself over the years. It's all just lip service. You know, for many years, it was lip service for me. I was just all bark, no bite, making empty promises, you know, just being fucking unreliable and that sort of thing. And now I'm really at a point where I've tried to find that balance. You know, they talk about the two most important days of your life, right, Gareth? It's when you were born and the day you find your purpose, right? And I put pressure on myself to do that, right? I'm not here to figure it all out in one day. Yeah. But to find that balance has been something I've been obsessing over, right? Like, how can I, you know, give the same amount of energy and time and love to all these different facets of my life, right? Like when it comes to my career and what I'm doing, right? When it comes to, you know, what the guru was talking about earlier, spirituality. Like, do I have a higher power? Do I believe in something greater than myself? Am I making that conscious contact, right? And then you've got things like relationships and family. Family's a big one for me. And I think that going back to recovery, that's really what I've needed, that foundation with my recovery and really have the ability to be there and show up for all of these different facets of my life, right? So there's been a lot of change since the last time we spoke.
That sounds, I mean, that's powerful stuff, but I can't help thinking, like, the cynic in me is well, because you went through some difficulty, now you think you're somehow, you have special powers to help other people. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I know that's not what you mean, but it sounds like that sometimes. It's like, I've been through this, so now let me help you get through this. And it's like, almost sounds like like a bit of a superiority thing. But listen, I mean, we can get into this, and I do want to hear more about this, because I do think you're one of those, people who seriously thinks about these things and implements changes into your life, and you've done it. So there's proof in the pudding, right? But we're at 3 minutes past seven, so we've got to take a quick break. And we do have Blind History coming up in the next hour, so stick around for that. And Sam Lehoko, a special guest this morning and co-host on the show, Bulelo, you and me, and we are going to keep you company for the duration of the morning up until 8 o'clock, including a little bit of Blind History. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com.